New.
This is the Relevant Podcast.
It's episode 1072, and it's the Relevant Podcast. Here in Orlando, I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and joining me from Loverland, Virginia, it's Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From Nashville, Tennessee, artist, producer, mogul, Derek Miner.
What up?
And from Austin, Texas, author, speaker, and podcaster, Jamie Ivey.
Hey, guys.
Well, welcome to summer, everyone. This is Tuesday. Yesterday was Memorial Day. We're officially in the unofficial time of summer, right? I mean, this is the kickoff, right? All the kids are out of school, college has graduated, summer travel's coming up. Do you guys have any big summer plans?
I am going to Uganda this summer. That is my big summer plan.
Oh, wow. That's a flex right there.
Okay.
Nice.
I was like, in my head, I was like, I'm thinking about getting a new grill at some point. Is that worthy?
I'm going to Sudan.
Yeah.
I'm going to Sudan.
Wow, you guys are traveling the globe.
World travelers.
What is taking both of you guys to Africa?
I'm going with the ministry that I work with, and we're doing some stuff over there with the girls' school, with Katie Davis Major School, and then I'm getting to bring my daughter, so it's really cool.
That's fire.
Mine's the typical thing that we do, Jesse, front lines, humanitarian stories, and, you know, peacemaking stuff. So
no, I was thinking about getting a Coleman.
No big deal.
Upgrading from Weber to Coleman. got a bigger grill plate surface. Grease pan's a little deeper. So
that's a great summer thing, Jesse.
I mean, it's pretty special.
Jesse, we need to make plans for Summer League in July. We haven't talked dates
yet. I know.
I'm going
this time.
All right, dude. Come on.
Dude, and this will release while the three of us are together. I'm very excited about our trip
coming up in
a couple days. Right. Yeah, so.
Yes,
we will be recording the next two podcasts from a cabin in Montana. Prop will be with us, some other friends.
Oh, it's lit.
Yeah, it's going to be a little different. We're going to just be winging it with a little four-track recorder sitting in a little
old
room
school.
Together.
So
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be fun. All right, well, let's move the show along. We have a great show. Christine Kane joins us. We also have a little game at the end if we have enough time. But stay tuned right now. Up next, it's Slices.
The show is over. You can go back up and leave. But lean a little closer. I can show you what I see. We could be together. I'll be what you think of. I can be your lover, not just someone you meet.
You're listening to Boy with Ook, UK, Yuka. It's boy, it's all one word, boy with UKE. So I think it's a uke, like a ukulele. Uke, boy with uke. There you go. The song is Out of Reach.
The wait is officially over. Ann Wilson's newest album, Rebel, is out now. Following up on her Grammy-nominated debut album, My Jesus, her sophomore project is jam-packed with 16 songs and features guest artists including Chris Tomlin, Lainey Wilson, and Jordan Davis. Blending her love for God with her roots in all things country, Ann is a true rebel in modern music. Be sure to check out Ann Wilson's newest album, Rebel, available now everywhere you listen to music.
Okay, it's time for
Slices.
All right, what do you have, Jesse?
Guys, I'm very excited to hear the opinions on this one because this isn't really necessarily like a hard news piece. I'll bring in the newsworthy angle, but I saw that the Wall Street Journal had a story this week basically their take on how tipping culture has gotten out of control. I did find some stats that were in the news from Square that recently tipping amounts at full service restaurants have increased by 25%. And then even at over-the-counter restaurants, so where you don't have a server, where you just kind of, you know, buy stuff quickly, tipping has increased 16%. So major increase in tipping. And a lot of people are saying the reason is because the technology has finally caught up to tipping and people aren't, because now when you go to, you know, whether it's like a food truck or, you know, a restaurant or a coffee shop or something, or even like a retail place, you know, like somewhere where there is a hard good, that it's not like they're making it there. They're not providing a service for you. You're just right. Buying something off the shelf. When they hand you that the iPad or whatever to scan your card, it always comes up tipping amounts. And mm-hmm. basically what mm-hmm. this research is showing is that when you put someone on the spot like that,
yeah.
they will generally give you more money. And I don't know if you guys have noticed this. The amounts are getting higher and higher. They usually give you three options.
18, 20, uh-huh. 25.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Where it used to be the standard was 15%, right? Like that was just understood as like
cheap Christians would do 10% as 10%. The standard.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
other people would do 15. I always did 18, 20, and I thought I was a generous tipper. Now I'm on the low end of the options.
Yeah. And 18, I always 20. Pick the middle. It doesn't matter what the middle. The middle could be 35%. I'm probably picking the middle because not only do I want to not hand the iPad back and having not tipped at all, but I don't yeah. want to be the one that's like, oh, you tipped me the lowest. Okay. I'll remember that yeah. next time you get the haircut or whatever, or change the oil or whatever it is. It's like, I don't know why I'm tipping for I'm paying for the service that's being provided. This morning, I was actually at a restaurant and I was buying a gift card for somebody and I walked up to the bar and I was like, hey, I want the gift card for $30. Okay. I pay for the gift card and I get the thing back from the bartender, like the little thing. And it has tipping amounts for a gift card.
Did you leave a tip?
Of course. I felt too weird.
Ain't no way.
You're hitting zero, Derek.
The recipient
Cameron?
Of the mm-hmm. gift card is going to leave the tip. You don't need to tip on top of the mm-hmm. tip. You're fine.
Mm-hmm. I, like you, Jesse, I feel a little guilt. Like, I feel yeah, weird
I
handing them
not.
Back something that says
not.
Zero. Like, it makes me feel uncomfortable.
I ain't going to hold you. I ain't going to hold you. If I go to a restaurant and it's not full service, I'm not tipping you.
So
like, if you order at the bar,
it's over with. Now, okay. if I'm ordering at the bar and taking it to the crib,
yeah.
what's the point for you to hand me my bag?
I know.
I'm going to give you 15-20%.
I know.
No.
Yeah, and that other server serving the table is having to work for that 15% and you did nothing. You just handed me the bag that was prepared for you. Yeah, I agree.
I'm not giving you nothing.
My least favorite is when I go through the coffee drive-thru and they tell me, okay, that'll be 15 or whatever, and they don't have the card thing, and they look me straight in the eyes and say, would you like to leave us a tip?
No.
It makes me nervous. It makes me uncomfortable. Like, mm-mm. I don't know what I'm supposed to say. And so usually I'm like, yeah, $2. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, it just makes me in a weird spot.
No, thank you. That's how you do it. You say no, thank you. No, thank you.
The other thing too, and like, I consider myself a reasonable, I can't not. I feel too uncomfortable. Like, it is worth the three or four extra bucks to just get out of the uncomfortable situation.
Listen, also, Jesse, Aaron makes so much fun of me because if I go to Costco, if I taste anything, I'm buying it. Like, literally, if I taste your wine, if I taste the chicken nuggets, whatever, because I feel like they're looking at me and they say, this is so good. It's right here behind me. And I feel like they're watching me. And Aaron's like, no, they're not. They hate their life. They don't care. But I feel like I have to be like,
yo.
Okay.
I feel like I have to make them think you did a great job today. I'm going to go buy these chicken nuggets.
I think Jesse is the perplexing one out of here. Jamie, I totally get it. Like, Jamie, you're the sweetest person on planet Earth. And I get it. Mm-hmm. Jesse, this doesn't make sense.
I am a little surprised by Jesse too.
This doesn't make sense. This is off script. But this is off script to me because Jesse is the person that does not mind making things uncomfortable for everybody. Like,
I don't mind. I actually relish making things uncomfortable.
Yes,
it's the confrontational aspect. And the other thing too is like, yeah, exactly. Because there's a difference.
He hates confrontation more than anything.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. It's feeling like maybe
sacrifice his own. He'll sacrifice his own well-being, mental health, so there could be peace in the situation for others. He wants to make sure everybody else is taken care of ahead of himself, which is a lovely thing about him. But these tipping machines are taking advantage of him.
I feel very taken advantage. Because here's the other thing I don't like. because this isn't really a news story. Okay, this is just me ranting at this point.
Exactly.
Okay. I went to Walgreens. The other day. Walked over, and I think it was for Mother's Day, and I bought a Mother's Day card. Okay, and it was like $3 or $4, right?
Right. Yeah.
And I rang it up, and it was like $4.04. Okay, the guy behind the counter. Would you like to round up for Red Nose Day? Okay. Nope. I don't even know what Red Nose Day is. And I don't know why you're asking me.
I don't know
what the money's going to. I have no idea.
Nope.
Generally, yeah. I will. But in this case, this is a full dollar. This is 20% of the price. You're asking me around. This is a Mother's Day card. Okay. And it was $4.04. You're asking me to round up an entire dollar for like a charity or it's like Walgreens. Why don't you handle the donation to Red Nose?
No.
I can't say no to that. I'm like, no, thank you. Yeah. But yeah.
No, thank you.
Like at Petco, you're checking out at Petco and they're always like, do you want to donate a dollar to save the lives of dogs that are like stranded? And I'm like, no. Like, and they look at you like you're the most horrible person for not saving the dog's lives. And I'm like, it's not my problem.
I'm like, have you traveled the world? Come on. There's people that need help.
Guys, I watched a $4 tip this morning on a $30 gift card. I feel like a sucker.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like a sucker.
No.
The guy literally went beep, beep, beep and rang it up for you. And I'm you left you him not. $4.
Put it in a little envelope.
If it's not full service, because that is the point of tipping.
$4.
It's right. for because the crazy part about it too, the whole point of tipping was that waiters or waitresses, they make so little money that, you know, you have to tip them, right? Like to make up the difference. The difference is made up in their tips. But bro, if you're a cashier, you're not making a regular wage. Like, why am I tipping you? Like, no,
you
I'm
know,
not tipping
and
you.
Two, the whole how are waiters paid $3.50 an hour. How is that legal when minimum wage is $8?
Discrimination.
Boom. It started with racial discrimination after emancipation happened. Uh-huh. They didn't want to pay full wage to minority workers. Mm-hmm. So they adjusted the law for the service industries, which is where they mainly went because they weren't educated, etc. And they found a loophole to pay them less money. So tipping became part of the culture and white people typically did not tip out of racism. Because they didn't want to help support and uplift the minority communities that were serving them. It's actually a really messed up system that needs to be rethought.
And now I'm a black man, not tipping because it don't make no sense.
Yeah. I'm not opposed to tipping in all scenarios. I'm just saying it's gotten what the iPad thing and everyone, because everyone at the table can look over your shoulder too and be like, oh, you're an 18% guy? No, I kind of pegged you for more of the 22, but you know, that's fine. I probably won't go to the coffee shop with you.
Here's another thing I'm asking. Do y'all wonder, I think some of this is in our head because those tips are all just pooled at the end of the night.
They're split.
And they're split between people that, you know what I'm saying? So I don't even think that they're judging you if you don't leave a tip at the cashier. I don't think
so. I feel judged.
You think so?
I think all of the tropical smoothie employees are going to split whatever was left in the bowl that day. And it's not like an individual knock against you as an individual. Yeah. Uh-huh. I don't think they take it as personally. That as a waiter would, you know, or whatever.
For sure.
You stiffed a waiter. But anyway. All right. What do you have, Jamie?
Oh, what do I have? Sorry, I was still trying to think if I should tip next time I drive through this coffee shop on the way to work. I still just don't know what to do. If I drive through the drive-through and they give me my coffee, do I tip?
If you want to go back there, you tip. If you're just passing through town, you're never going to see that person again. You just.
Are you giving them cash or are you running a card?
No, it's on my card. I push the button.
Oh, because I was going to say, just tell them keep the change. You probably would be straight, but nah.
Okay, here we go. All right, here's what I got, you guys. Also, this is not that newsworthy, but I do think it's worth celebrating or remembering is that the original Chick-fil-A restaurant has officially closed its doors. Mm. The original restaurant was in a mall, Greenbrier Mall, in, Atlanta, Georgia, and it served its final meal over the weekend. It shut down after 56 years of operation. This is where Truett Cathy opened the original Chick-fil-A in a mall. And I'll tell you, the first time I ever had Chick-fil-A was in a mall Chick-fil-A as well. Because that's where they kind of originated.
Yeah.
That's all they did was like, I remember 80s and 90s malls having Chick-fil-A's that you like walk into. Like it was like, it wasn't, mine wasn't in the food court. It was like in a little storefront. And they had like a long, narrow place to eat and stuff like that. It was a whole little baby restaurant inside their mall.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. But the original one, the article I'm reading, it doesn't tell me if this mall is shutting down as well, which I'm kind of would assume because malls they're are kind of dying. Yeah, they're all dying breed. But anyhow, the first one is no longer available. So if you wanted to go on a tour this summer through Atlanta and go visit it, you're out of luck.
Let me just say, I haven't crunched the numbers, but I think this is a huge missed opportunity because let's assume the mall's going under. Just make it a mall-sized Chick-fil-A. Okay, you go to any Chick-fil-A, it's always packed out. It just a matter of scale here. It's just a mall full of Chick-fil-A's.
I don't think you're wrong about this, Jesse.
Nah, you're wrong about it because we got a mall in Antioch called Hickory Hollow, and it's been gone. Hickory Hollow been gone for like 10 years. And I don't know why the food court is in there. Nobody ever, the only reason people walk in the Hickory Hollow Mall is to walk up the broken escalators to work out. Like, mm-hmm. It's just like you walk up the broken escalators up and down them to like run the steps or something. Like, that's the
only
reason.
I worked at Hickory Hollow Mall back in the day, Derek.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did.
That was the mall I went to when I lived in Nashville.
It was lit.
Like, that was the only place where Buckle was and stuff.
Yeah.
So obviously I had to be there.
Now it's the only place where Chicago style Euros are there. That's the only thing that's in there. It's like a big
in a sword store.
Chicago style Euro. Yeah.
Sword store, weird memorabilia store.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of homemade.
The sports collectibles.
A lot of homemade signs.
But there is a Puerto Rican barbershop in there that I think is cold because Puerto Ricans be having the dopest haircuts, but that's it. Oh, and there's a radio station in there. My bad. I take that back. There's a radio station
in there. Is in the mall now?
Yeah, it's a Spanish music station. Oh, and hey, it's laid out. It's like it's a dead mall, but to the right, there's this huge radio station that's just kind of tucked off in the side. Super fire over there. Yeah.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. All right. What do you have, Derek?
So I don't know if y'all know this, but Montana banned TikTok in the state, not just on state devices. If you get caught with TikTok in the state of Montana, you're going to get fined.
How are you going to get caught?
After January 1st.
After January 1st. So, it's heating up. We're heating up, right? So it's getting crazy. Like that's a crazy thing. Well,
what they're doing is they're not finding individuals. What I read was they're not finding users. They would fine anybody who provided TikTok, service providers, phone companies, cell companies.
Oh.
They would go after the sources.
Right.
But
makes sense.
But you won't be able to download the app in the App Store unless you have a VPN. But they're not like going to come banging on your door.
Right.
Like we're
Give
seeing
me your phones.
Right. We triangulated, you know, like
that TikTok ticket. Yeah. Right.
and we know this is all based on the idea that China is spying on America via TikTok, right?
Yeah.
So TikTokers in Montana, which I didn't even know they had internet in Montana, you know, shut up. But TikTokers in Montana are like
Man, we've been going to Montana for 10 years.
Seven devices in the state. Yeah.
but what's actually interesting about this is obviously it's become a conservative political narrative of like the big bad China spying on us through TikTok. And so this is obviously being challenged legally right now in the courts. If it holds up, if the ban holds up, there's 17 or 18 other states that almost overnight will enact the same ban.
Wow.
So it's like, Montana is being held up as an example to see what's going to happen with, can the government limit our access to apps to communicate? Is that a First Amendment right? Or is it actually a national security issue?
That's interesting.
They can inhibit that right.
So it's going to be all the red states, you think, are just going to instantly
all the ones pushing abortion, immigration stuff are going to probably ban TikTok too. Yep.
Pushing against abortion, just to clarify.
But it's madness. So there's a, obviously we knew there was gonna be a lawsuit, right? We knew someone was gonna sue the state,
for sure.
Right? Yeah, so that's what's happening.
Some
TikTokers are suing it. Yeah, so it's gonna be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah,
there you go. All right, well, that'll do it for Slices. Stay tuned. Up next, Christine Kane joins us.
Wish I could make some bread. Maybe I'll just rest my head.
You're listening to Ohm 53. The song is Give You Anything. I say Ohm, but I think it's Oom or something like that, because it's that O with the slash, diagonal slash through it. Not the umlaut, but like the slash thingy. So I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but it's that thing, OM hyphen 53. There you go. In case you're looking for it on Spotify.
Well, today's show is brought to you in part by Crown College, a boldly Christian and academically excellent college providing a lifelong, authentic community. Crown offers on-campus, online, and graduate programs, 18 NCAA Division III sports, international service opportunities, and a vibrant student life. Discover why Crown College is ranked top 3 in America for online Christian education. Visit crown.edu today.
Well, our guest today is Christine Kane. She's one of our favorite speakers and authors, hero of the faith. She's just released her latest book, Don't Look Back. She talked to Emily about how we can prepare for our future, whatever it looks like, and stay focused on the things that truly matter in life. She's literally one of my favorite people in the world. Her ministry and message has deeply impacted me. Here's our conversation with Christine Kane.
What is the message behind this book, and where did like the inspiration for this message come from?
You know, Emily, I think we are in a time on the earth that we all need reminding that it's time to move forward or we're going to get stuck. And so you go, where did the inspiration come? I mean, the last several years, wherever I've traveled, you know, we've got 821 in, we've got 19 offices in 15 countries. And so basically I just keep doing laps of the globe and visiting our offices and then ministering in churches. So you get a real glimpse of the global church and what people are trying to process all over the world, not just here in America, but all over the world. And, you know, the one phrase I have heard more than any other phrase in the last 3 years is, Chris, I just wish things would go back to normal. I just wish things would go back to normal. And I didn't know how to process it at first, because I'm thinking, you'll realize there is no normal and there is no going back. I mean, the world fundamentally has shifted in the way that we knew it. And not only that, the Lord's always doing a new thing, but I realize a lot of us are missing what the Lord is doing now because we keep looking back to what he had done. And of course, at the time I was reading Luke 17, where Jesus is talking all about the end times. And I mean, oh my goodness, all over the world, everyone's talking about the end times right now, because it's like the world's crazy. Yeah. There's wars and there's famines and there's injustice. And, you know, we go through cycles where everyone thinks this is the world, the end of the world, you know. And in the middle of that, though, in Luke 17:32, Jesus, talking all about the end of the world, you know, Noah, the flood, Sodom, Gomorrah, he says, remember Lot's wife. And it caught my attention. I mean, it could have been like a 4x2 hitting me, you know, across the head. It was like, oh my word. And then I go on to find out there's 170 women that are in some way referenced in scripture, either by name or just reference. But there's only one woman Jesus ever told us to remember, only one. And that was Lot's wife. That's the only woman. And he told us to remember her in the context of the world ending as we know it. And I thought, you know, maybe now would be a really good time for the church to remember the one chick that Jesus told us to remember. This could be a really good time. So I go back to Genesis 19, you know, you start, because we don't know much about her. I mean, we don't even know her name. It's like, right. What's your name? Lot's wife. I thought that is not going to cut it in 2023. Honey, we need your name. And so, you know, and then, but it's really a very sober chapter of scripture. There's no doubt about it. Genesis 19 on so many levels. But the one thing we know is the world as she knew it was burning down. You know, the Lord had rescued her out of Sodom and Gomorrah as it's all burning down. And the angel of the Lord says, don't look back. And then scripture says, but Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. And of course, the metaphor for me there is like going, oh my word. And if we look back, and in the original language there, the looking back is like with a longing, wanting to go back. And I was thinking about everything everyone has been talking about. Man, I just want to go back to normal. I wish we could go back to the good old days, you know, whatever that might mean. And I thought, wow, there's so much longing on the earth right now, and even amongst believers, to go back to something, to some, you know, sort of a fantasy land that we think is awesome. And she got stuck as a pillar of salt. So she basically became calcified in a place she was only meant to be passing through. And she, you know, she was more attached to what she was leaving than what God had for her in the future. And I started to think about all of us, how we can get stuck in, you know, you're stuck in good moments and bad moments. You know, sometimes you can get so stuck in success. I laugh sometimes, you know, you're at a party. I'm 57, Emily. So I could be at parties and I've got some of my friends, you know, they're talking about when they played high school volleyball and they've still got the trophy. And I'm like, honey, that was like 40 years ago. And, you know, like, can we move on? You know, like, I'm a bit tongue in cheek, but the deal is you're remembering, you know, this one thing, great thing that happened 20 years ago, or the pain. Of course, there's been so much pain and so much loss and so much suffering and so much grief on the earth in the last, you know, 3 years in particular. But, you know, people have just gone through so much. And I think there comes a time, and even in the book, I want to make sure I start with a chapter on mourning, because I don't want people in any way to say that I'm trying to dismiss or deny the pain and the suffering that we've all gone through. But, you know, even there are several times in scripture where the Lord, you know, he said to Samuel that he said, you know, Saul is, I am done with Saul, and I've selected for myself a new king. And he said, how long will you mourn for Saul? And he said to Joshua, you know, Moses, my servant, is dead. Like, he had to kind of remind him, okay, it's time to move on. It's a new day. And I kind of feel that coming in, especially over the last almost three and a half years now, it is time for some of us to start looking forward instead of backwards, and to get, and we've been stuck in, you know, I think a loss of hope or disappointment or discouragement or betrayal or loss. You know, some of us, like I've got a background of childhood sexual abuse and abandonment and adoption. And there comes a time to go, okay, I'm either dealing with my past. I've got a whole chapter that says there's a difference between glancing back to heal and to deal with stuff versus looking back to stay there, both good and bad. And it's almost like, okay, we need some permission now to say it's okay to start looking forward towards the promise of God, the purpose of God. He's still got a future. Our history doesn't have to define our destiny. And you can acknowledge what has happened, but not be defined by it ultimately. Ultimately, we can be defined by who Jesus says we are and what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And I think I felt that it was just time that I write something that says, okay, let me help you. And I think, unlike any other book I've written, there's a lot of practical stuff in this and a lot of questions, because you have to give people time to do that. I mean, you don't get whiplash and, you know, have spent the last 3 to 7, you know, since 2016, everything's been crazy. And so you kind of go, okay, we've spent so much time with our heads turned one way. You don't want to get whiplash, but it's like, okay, let's now fix our eyes on the promise of God and begin to move forward. And I'm hoping, and it seems from what people are saying in, you know, these first few weeks of release, that I'm giving practical tools to go, here is maybe some tools that can help you start looking forward. So there's kind of the big 35,000 feet view of how it came to be.
I do think it is interesting, like you said, like, you know, focusing on the future and moving forward. But I feel like I know, just in my own life and other people's lives, sometimes we look to the past because we're so scared of what we might see in the future. And so how can we find that faith and that courage to continue to look forward?
Well, I think where it ultimately comes, I mean, there's a lot of answers I can give you, but let me get, for me, what the bottom line is that, I trust Jesus, and I trust his character, and I trust, you know, the word says that God is good and does good. There's a lot of bad things that are happening in the world, but God is good and does good, and that God is kind and merciful and compassionate. So here is my bottom line, you know, so that we don't take 16 hours on this podcast. For me, I have to trust what I do know about the character of God more than what I do not know about the future. And I think that's what it comes down to, is like, I don't know the future any more than anybody else, except I would imagine there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of suffering. There's, you know, I helped to rescue the victims of human trafficking. So let me tell you, I am extremely familiar with just the evil and the depravity of humanity and what people will do to other people. So I don't live with rose-colored glasses thinking, you know, it's all going to be unicorns and rainbows in the future. There's none of that in my thinking. But I definitely have hope, because Jesus is this hope we have as an anchor for our soul, both firm and secure. And God is a good God. And so when I don't know what's going to happen in the future, which I don't, I do know Him. And I think if nothing else, this last 3 years has given us an opportunity to become more intimate with Jesus, because that's about the only guarantee that we have. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And I think coming out of the last few years, I'm like, that's about all I do know. He's good. He's not going to leave me, that He is going to enable me to get through whatever it is, and that in Him, all the promises of God are yes and amen. So I can have hope. I can have faith. I can still have a glint in my eye, a spring in my step, and look to the future with joy and peace and confidence. Not because I know anything about the future, but I mean, I know it sounds like a cliche, but it's true. But I do know the one that holds the future in His hands. So yes, cliches are cliches for a reason, because it really is true.
I also, you know, you mentioned that this book, you give kind of a lot of practical advice. Is there maybe like a first step that people can take to make sure that they're moving forward, or just, is there any, what are the steps that you could take to make sure you're like looking to the future?
Well, I think without a shadow of a doubt, the first step is always in your mind. You have to decide, because nothing changes until you change your mind. And our thoughts, basically, they're like a train. They take us somewhere. So you have to make a decision that I'm going to get on a train of thought, metaphorically speaking, that's going to get me unstuck. So, you know, there's, unless you change your mind, nothing else is going to change. So you can feel all the feelings of like, I don't want to, this is hard, you know, this, I don't know what to do. But you can make up your mind that says, I am going to do whatever it takes to get unstuck. I'm willing to go through the process. So for some people, getting unstuck may be beginning with therapy. That could be the start. For other people, it may be blocking, muting, or unfollowing certain people. You know, it may come down to that. For other people, it really may be changing friend groups. For other people, it may be enrolling in school. For other people, you know, it may be going and changing careers, or, you know, it might be going to start walking around the block and getting outside. Like, I don't know. There is always one tangible next thing you can do. So whether it's mental, emotional, spiritual, physical, relational, or financial, in whichever area that you think I'm stuck and I need to get unstuck, that's the area that you have to begin to do the next right thing. And nothing is easy. You know, there's no guarantees. Like, I wish I could tell you, here is 3 points, do these and it'll be fine. But if you do the next right thing, and the book is literally full of that, because I have broken it down so much, because I found that we just need to have stuff broken down at this time, because there's just a lot and it's so overwhelming. And most of us, you know, have a hope of where we want to end up, but we don't know how to get there. And we think we minimize the value of the right next step because we think it's too small, and we think, what difference is this going to make? Getting, you know, I'm just saying, say you want to improve your spiritual life. What difference is setting my alarm 15 minutes earlier and reading one chapter of scripture? Well, I'm telling you, a year from now, that's going to be all the difference in the world. What difference is it if I want to get a little bit healthier? Setting that alarm 15 minutes earlier and walking 1 mile around the block. In a year from now, it's going to be all the difference, you know, enrolling in that course in school. You've got to take it off in bite-sized pieces. And I think because of the world that we live in, no one's got any patience. Everyone wants instant gratification. We all want that change, but it's not going to happen. This is not like a self-help. 3 steps, 2 weeks, you are going to be unstuck. This is, I can guarantee you, if you do this, you will get unstuck, but it's not going to be easy to do this. But with God's help, you can do it.
You talked about maybe sometimes we might need to change friend groups. And I feel like that is a big issue that a lot of people struggle with, is maybe they have friends that are well-meaning, but they just pull us back and kind of keep us in the past. And so how do we break those connections? Or maybe not, that might sound intense, but just how do we deal with those relationships that are trying to keep us in the past?
Yeah. And Emily, you know, there's, man, number one, you have to discern with the Lord, and you have to discern with, you know, good counsel, because we don't want to be the kind of people that just, you know, write people off and move on, because sometimes you've got to do the hard work of really working through stuff. But for all of us, there are times where you go, you know what, I want to move in a certain direction and other people don't want to move in that direction. And to varying degrees, sometimes you have to be brutal. I mean, if someone is taking you really down a path and it's not great, you might have to do the really brave and hard thing of just, you know, cutting it off if that's necessary, and that is the only thing that's going to help you to move forward. Other times, I think you always need to be as gracious as you can be, and as kind as you can be, like, you know, to the best degree that we can. You don't want to hurt people, you don't want to dismiss people, but you also cannot stop from moving on. And I think when it, you know, you can do it gently until you can't. And then, and I think that's what happens. But in some cases, you know, I'm talking to so many different people on this podcast. When I first became a Jesus follower, there were some friends I had to cut off immediately, because not even for their sake, for my sake, because I could not. I would have just gone right back into patterns of destructive behavior. So I had to do it. It was the case. So, you know, I know I'm always mindful when I say that, because there are sometimes you just got it because it's not good. But then there are times, I could tell you distinct times in my 35 years of following Jesus, when I've had friend groups, really good friends, like good people, good believers, except I wanted to go further and I wanted to go deeper with Jesus and I wanted to go more full on, and they didn't. And that was almost more difficult than the first group of friends that I had to let go of, because, you know, there's a lot of good memories and there's a lot of good things you did together. But, you know, the more you move on with the Lord, good is more often than not what stands in the way and becomes the enemy of the God thing.
That was Christine Kane. Make sure to check out her brand new book, Don't Look Back. All right, stay tuned. Up next, it's Burning Hot Questions.
I waited all my life for a savior.
All my life, I waited all my life.
I waited all my life for a savior.
I waited all my life for a savior.
I waited all my life.
Where you hide? Yeah, I'll meet you there. I know this life ain't always fair. Look, I've been broken here and over there. But when you put down all your pride and surrender your life, he'll take you way up. Look at your depression fade away now. Hearing chains break, cause this is freedom. Finally met your savior, so we sing. Oh.
You're listening to St. James. The song is Savior. Well, Relevant has a lot happening this year, and we don't want you to miss a thing. Make sure to sign up for our newsletter right there on the front page at relevantmagazine.com, and we'll send you our top five trending stories into your inbox every weekday. We'll also send you a weekly podcast newsletter with the latest episodes, some fan extras, and first peeks at the new shows that we're going to be rolling out throughout this year. Make sure to sign up. It's the best way to keep in touch with everything we got going on. Okay, it's time for Burning Hot Questions. All right, it's summer. It's the first day of summer. Memorial Day was yesterday. So I have a quiz show specifically about summer information. It's okay. Going to be one of our old school traditional games. Here we go. One who gets the most correct wins. All right, Jamie, you're up first. On June 5th, 2019, Thomas Van Dungen, D-U-N-G-E-N, broke the record for the world's tallest sandcastle. Mm. How tall was it?
Oh, and
you can, if you're in the ballpark, I'll give
yeah.
it to you.
Thomas, I remember that sandcastle. I think it was around 22 feet.
It was 57 feet.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not. You weren't in the ballpark. All right, Jesse, you're up.
Okay.
How much did the world's largest scoop of ice cream weigh? The world's largest scoop of ice cream. All summer themes here, you know. Four tons is 8,000 pounds. The largest scoop of ice cream was 3,000 pounds. Still a lot of ice cream.
Kind of disappointed.
That's crazy.
Pretty disappointed.
You know what? I could help you all out because I do have three options that I could read you. So I'm going to do that moving forward because in the blind, it's a little tough. Here you go, Derek. You're going to be the first one to get three options.
Oh, okay.
The world's largest inflatable pool toy was named Sally the Swan by its creators. How tall was it? The world's largest inflatable pool toy. Was it 18 feet tall, 70 feet tall, or 100 feet tall?
Shoot. I'm going to 100.
70 feet tall.
70.
Sally the Swan was 70 feet tall. All right, Jamie, now you're going to get options. Here we go. Round two.
Okay.
These are all worth 2 points each. What's the world record for the longest running barbecue? Is it 12 hours, 50 hours, or 80 hours?
80. We're having a long barbecue.
That's right. That's absolutely right. There you go. Jamie got one. 2 points. Jesse, pro competitive eater Joey Chestnut, your hero, holds the world record for the most hot dogs eaten in 10 minutes. How many hot dogs did he eat during his record-breaking attempt in 2021? Was it 51, 76, or 82 hot dogs?
I think it was 76.
It was 76.
He knew that.
That's crazy.
He did know that.
Jesse.
We're talking about docuseries. We want to see. I want to see the Joey Chestnut Last Dance. And I want it 1-hour episodes as well.
I like it. Derek, how long was the world's longest inflatable slip and slide? 564 feet, 871, or 1,975 feet? World's largest slip and slide.
We'll go with the big one, 1,000.
That's it. You guys all swept round two. All right, here we go.
Yeah, we did.
Everybody has 2 points. All right, round three, 3 points each. Here we go. Jamie, you're up. The Katmai, C-A-T-M-A-I, Katmai or Katmai, National Park in Alaska, holds a contest each summer to find the fattest blank. Is it a bear, a moose, or a wolf?
A bear.
That is right. You guys are on a tear. Jamie's got 3 points. Jesse, here we go. Which country holds the world record for the hottest temperature ever recorded? Is it the United States? Is it Egypt or Australia?
I'm going to go Australia.
Death Valley, California. United States. All right, Derek, here you go. Which country gives students the longest summer vacation? Is it Norway, South Africa, or Italy?
Italy.
It is Italy. 12 weeks the kids get off.
Yeah, Italy.
Or 3 months.
Italy cool, man. You know what I'm saying? Let the kids play. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
All right, last tiebreaker question. We have a tie between Jamie and Derek with 5 points each, so tiebreaker. I'll ask you each a question. Here we go. Jamie, what are the United States' three hottest states? Is it Florida, Hawaii, and Louisiana? Texas, New Mexico, and Georgia? Or Arizona, California, and Florida?
The last one.
It is the first one, Florida, Hawaii, and Louisiana.
I was going with that last question you asked with the hottest place.
All right, Derek, you can win it right here. Where's the biggest water park in the world? The U.S., Germany, or Spain?
The U.S., Germany, or Spain? I'm going U.S.
Germany. And a tie.
Well,
you guys all know summer equally. There you go. All right, that'll do it for Burning Hot Questions. Before we wrap things up, I want to thank Christine Kane for joining us today. If she's not one of your spiritual heroes, question is, what's wrong with you? That's really the question, actually. Or what's taking you so long is more the question. Because you can catch up. You know, follow her on IG. Read some of her books. Watch some of her sermons on YouTube. Seriously, amazing content. Amazing speaker, preacher, teacher. And not just that. I mean, she's literally changing the world with A21 and other things she's doing globally. She's one of the good ones. Make sure to check out our new book. It just came out. It's called Don't Look Back. All right, a couple of updates before we wrap it. If you want to stay in touch with everything we're doing at Relevant, make sure to sign up for our daily newsletter. It's right there at relevantmagazine.com. It's free. We send you our top 5 trending stories each weekday morning. Follow us on all the socials. Check out Relevant Plus. Check out our digital issue. And just know that we're working on some things that in the next few months you're going to enjoy. So stay tuned, you know, like stay in touch. That's why you should sign up for the newsletter so you don't miss out. Also, if you like the music you hear on the podcast, check out our Spotify playlist. It's Heard on the Relevant Podcast is what the main one's called. We also have a worship, indie, and other playlists as well right there on Spotify. Just search for Relevant. Heard on the Relevant Podcast is all the music you hear on the show. Okay, on that note, we'll wrap things up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Jamie Ivey.
I'm Derek Miner.
We will see y'all on Tuesday. Have a great weekend. And like I said, the next two episodes will be recorded live in Montana.
Off some milkshakes.
Oh boy. We're gonna have to record them early in the morning. You know what I'm saying? Before the milkshakes kick in. All right. See you guys later.
For listening to The Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
I watched a $4 tip this morning on a $30 gift card.
Relevant Podcast Network.